Hi, I'm Erin Marcus, former corporate executive turned entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Conquer Your Business. Welcome to the Ready Yet podcast. We're excited to bring you more than 100 episodes of interviews and insights designed to help entrepreneurs get the financial and emotional freedom they need in order to build a business and a life they're proud of. We are live. Yay. Welcome. Welcome to this episode of the Ready Yet podcast. Very excited about today's guest, Heidi Mitro, because here is the deal. So my boyfriend was at a work event where Heidi was speaking and training and doing workshops. And he came home and he's like, oh my gosh, you do the same thing. You have to meet her. And I'm sure, Heidi, you had the same response. Because here's the deal. I'm happy to talk to just about anybody, but I don't hold out a lot of expectations.
I understand.
So we put 20 minutes on the calendar, and like 2 hours later, your husband had to take your kid to dance or something because we were still talking.
Yes, I love it. Those are my favorites.
Exactly. So before we get into this, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you do a little bit more officially?
Oh, well, thank you, Erin. I'm so excited to talk with you. I am very, I'm kind of a snob when it comes to who I talk to also. So the fact that you came through Mike was such a cool thing. I just have a lot of respect for Mike. I think he's just a really genuine human. Yeah, he is. And he's someone who says, like, if you should meet someone that he says you should meet, you should. And I have a lot of respect for him. And then when I met you, I was like, oh, I think I get this combination.
Not sure how they're together.
Not sure right? how they're together, but it makes sense to me with the essence that you both have. So thank you for having me. Thank you for being willing to be like, withhold your expectations and then join me. So, my name is Heidi Mitro. Hi, everyone. Say hi if you're like commenting places.
It'll come through. I'm not tech savvy enough to figure out the names and everything, but we will.
We'll get through.
So say hello.
But if you're saying hi, like that's great. Hi, I'm Heidi. Nice to meet you. I'm the CEO and founder of When You Lead Coaching and Consulting. So that's just a fancy way of saying really our covert mission is to help you like yourself and then go change the world. I think that's what we're really doing.
So true, right? Because let's just like get right into that.
Yeah, do it.
I think there's a million bazillion people out there who could have such an amazing life and such an amazing impact if they didn't have the stories that they have in their heads telling them you're not good enough, this isn't for you, it's too hard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Amen.
And liking yourself. And I'll compare it to something else. And we've not talked about this topic, so I kind of assume your opinions. When I hear about people who are gay and their families don't know, when I hear about people who feel that they should be a different gender and they don't talk about it, I can't fathom how hard it is to live a life not getting to be you.
Right.
And I feel the same way about people who don't like themselves. Mm. Can you imagine how hard it is to go through life and not like yourself?
Yeah, I actually can. There was a long time where I didn't like myself. And I think it's a rebellious act right now, too. I know that word rebellion's thrown around in the coaching world right now, but it is. It's an act of rebellion to like yourself because everybody's given you a million reasons not to. Or you can like yourself once you've taken my program.
Right. Or once you've done. Right. If you look this way, if you get this job, if you behave this way, then you can like yourself. And I'm not talking about rainbows and puppies and unicorns all the time. And I'm, you know, all that and a bag of chips because you're not quite as old as I am, but that's something you used to say.
I remember that though.
But at the core of it, on the regular, can you say that you like yourself?
Oh, 100% now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's been an evolution. I think it's been more of a reclamation because I was thinking about when I was a kid. Oh, I loved myself so much. I thought I was so magical and fantastic.
Little kids, they think they're the mom, right?
And I was. Like, I look at, I've kept a journal for a really long time. And so even like 6, 7, 8 years old, I was keeping a journal. And I'm able to watch this progression of when it started to shift. And I've done this kind of reclamation tour of bringing in all of those pieces that maybe I had left behind because I didn't feel like maybe my 13-year-old self was worthy, or my 15-year-old self had made some poor choices, or my 22-year-old self. And you're like, what the hell am I supposed to be doing with my life? And I was supposed to figure it out day one of freshman year of college, because why the heck are we requiring 18-year-olds to know what they're doing when most of us in our 40s and 50s don't?
I find it nothing short of miraculous when you meet somebody who knew what they wanted to do when they were a kid, and now they're doing it in their 50. You're like,
yeah,
how did you know that? Right. I mean, that, yeah,
I think
that was,
I did know that though. I remember seeing a motivational speaker when I was in middle school, and he was so compelling on stage. And I was like, that's a real job. How do you get to be a motivational speaker? Like, that's,
yeah, I wanted to be a big animal vet. So a large animal.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No,
but then you had to like go to school and learn things.
Yep. That was
science and math and, not my genius zone.
You can have that.
Not my genius zone.
At least you know that about yourself.
Oh, yeah. It became obvious when the biggest fear I had at 12 years old was being picked to keep score at the bowling alley before it was automatic automatic scoring.
I remember that, having to carry with the spare and the strike and the...
And I was going to, everyone was going to know, simple addition, beyond my ability at that age. You know, I've caught up since then.
Electronic scoring for the win.
Yes.
In life in general.
Exactly. Exactly. So I want to back it up a little bit because I know some of your origin story, as it were, but how did you get to where you are? Like, I always talk about entrepreneurship is there's a few people who grew up in it, but most of us have either jumped off a cliff, pushed off a cliff, accidentally fallen off the cliff. Like, how did you end up off the cliff?
Yeah, I really tried to do corporate, man. After I graduated, I did the whole good job. I did the whole benefits, company car.
Yeah, me too.
And I did a whole lot of depression feelings along with that. Like, I could not get myself out of bed to go do this great job. And I remember feeling like a real failure because I just couldn't make myself do it. And I know now that it just wasn't in harmony with my values. It wasn't in harmony with what I felt was my purpose. And so I can work real hard for a short amount of time. I can go against myself for a short amount of time, and then depression or anxious feelings show up as like my course corrector. Mm-hmm. So I tried corporate for 4 years, and then it was like, I'm just going to have to work for myself. Like, I am perfectly unemployable now.
I had that conversation this morning. How unemployable I am. And what 100%. Was even better, this is even better. I have a new team member. He's brand new. He's like 2 weeks in, younger. You know, he's awesome. I'm really enjoying watching this through his eyes. Mm-hmm. But I had made a comment to him about how, now that he's been working with me for a little while, see how we do things, how I do things, how I'm unemployable. Mm-hmm. And I said something along the lines of, I don't think I could handle a boss. And he looked at me and he said, I think you could handle a boss. Not sure a boss could handle you.
Well played, son.
Right?
Well played.
And it was probably one of the most insightful assessments of me that I had heard in a very long time.
I can get on board with that. I think I started out self-employed as a massage therapist. So I started out with like a very practical tool. Mm-hmm. And when you go to massage therapy school, they teach you how to be a great LMT, but they don't teach you how to do business.
Nobody does. That's, you know, and that's my whole point to people, like, two parts. One, let yourself off the hook. You can be the best photographer in the world. Don't beat yourself up for not knowing how to grow a business. Those things have nothing to do with each other.
Exactly.
But the follow-up to that is, if you're going to put all your time and money and effort into being a great photographer, what are you putting time and money effort into to learn how to be a good business owner?
Absolutely. And there is a difference between, and this is, I'm new to this role in my own world, to being a business owner versus the CEO of a business. Because I've created my own job, right? Like, basically, as a business owner, I created a job for myself.
Right. Solopreneur, self-employed, 100%. Totally get it.
Yes. And now the growth edge that I'm at right now is this It's an upgrade. It's an expansion of energy. It's a developing of a team. It's a developing of leaders. We call it co-leadership inside When You Lead. And it's, I have goosebumps even as I'm like sitting here. It's the coolest thing to watch people be themselves and thrive. It's the coolest thing.
Well, and yeah, and it's, and I know this is why we ended up talking for so long, is because I'm in the exact same space and my focus this year very intentionally. I can't say the beginning of the year, but by the middle of this year. Yep. And I think it's going to take until the end of next year. Yes. I'm calling it CEO, not solopreneur.
Yes.
And I've literally had to remake every single decision in my business there is.
Have you experienced grief? Like, I've had a lot of grief show up. Like this kind of, there's been like this this dying of a season of my, it's like the winter of my solopreneurship.
I think you're more introspective than I am. I'm much more like, what the blippity blip is going on? Much more like,
got it.
This is just as hard as it was when I started. What
I'm like full on surrender mode of this is dying. Yeah, I am very romantic and dramatic when it comes to life.
That's awesome.
A lot of grief though. A lot of unexpected, like, oh, and I don't know if you've had this, but I felt kind of bashful to have people see the messy behind the scenes. Because when you're solopreneur and you go live, no one sees the mess. When the team is here and they're looking at the mess and you're like, I'm probably not qualified to be your leader.
I think I've been very, very lucky, and this was pointed out to me by a mentor years ago, that I am, for whatever reason... And I think this goes back to liking yourself.
Mm.
I like myself enough as is to be able to get up in front of people and just say, if you just don't do it the way I did it, you'll be better off.
I made all the mistakes for you, friends.
Right, exactly. Like, I have learned, probably more recently than I'm joking around about, I have embraced my mess and my genius zone so strongly, because what I've learned is it's the only way to make a quantum leap forward.
Legit.
Because if I do what you were talking about, if I force myself to do something I'm not good at, it's going to take 10 times as long to get a crappy result than somebody else who will be happy doing it, good at it.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
So I've just somewhere along the way embrace that's the way to get there.
And I think that what I'm learning is that having people come into the back end, they're really witnessing where my zone of competency is. And that's where it feels really messy. And then they come in with their tremendous
their broom and their dustpan.
Oh my God. And then they make it sparkle and they make it look cute.
Yeah.
And I've had to really go, oh, that's a good thing. I think that's where the grief has come in for me. It's almost like a relief grief where you're like, oh, thank God you know how to do Kajabi.
Right.
Thank God you did the landing. I don't know how it's all connected.
No, I don't know how.
And that's for everyone's benefit. But there has been a relief.
And I say that about my relationship going back to Mike. I haven't cooked a meal in 10 years and the entire universe is a better place for it.
Amen.
The house isn't burnt down, for example.
I love that for both of you, actually.
When there was, back in the early pandemic, you know, I've been working from home for ages on Zoom. He was not. He used to go to his office all the time. And so working from home was new to him. And I don't think we were 2 weeks in the lockdown. And so nobody was really good at muting automatically the second you stepped away from your desk. And here I am in the kitchen screaming. And he comes down the stairs and looks at me and goes, what? And I point and he turns to his right, which is where our kitchen was. And I had managed to create a plate of fire. Like, it was on the plate. It was on the plate wasn't on fire. The thing on the plate was on fire. And I literally called. No, he didn't mute himself. So his entire company heard his, you know, very
reaction. And he is like, the chillest person right. I've ever met.
Oh no, he just picked up the plate of fire and put it in the sink and turned on the water.
I think that needs to be like your autobiography right. or his. I picked up the plate of fire very calmly, right? Like there's no drama with him. At least from the outside looking in.
No, there's no drama.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very seldom. Very seldom.
I love that. Then you can be theatrical and dramatic intentionally, right? Like you get to be this big personality, right?
I get to be as crazy as it, and he just smiles and nods and watches and
it makes me happy for both of you.
It is what it is. I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Ready Yet podcast. If you're an entrepreneur or small business owner looking for a proven process to help you get either a specific offer or your entire business past that six-figure mark, join us for Six Steps to Six Figures, an online live event starting on November 28th. We're going to get right to the point in an hour a day with strategies you can implement immediately for rapid results. Check out conqueryourbusiness.com for more information. See you there. So I do know, I want to talk about this a little bit more because you brought up this subject of becoming the CEO mm-hmm. and you know, CEO, not solopreneur, which is near and dear to my heart, but you step back a bit because you also, not only have you left corporate and go into massage therapy, but then you made this shift mm-hmm. in that business.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about that because so many people feel if they make a shift, that means the first business failed. And yet on the opposite side of that is the people who may change their mind every 6 months and never get any traction. Like, so what was that like for you? Because I had that as well. I had my first business and then I realized what I liked and didn't like about it and created a second business. But one of the things that freaked me out was when I closed that first business, what were people going to think who didn't know the truth about why I closed it?
Mm-hmm.
And it slowed me down for quite a while.
What was the truth?
I didn't want to do that anymore.
Oh, so like normal truth. Normal. I'm like, where are the bodies buried, Aaron?
It didn't fail. Right. I was worried people were going to think, oh my God, she was doing so great. And now she's out of business. Oh, and because I was going into business coaching, who does she think she is? Yep. She was doing great. Now she's out of business and she's a business coach, right? So that messed with me for a little while.
That I really resonate with the who does she think she is because that's the voice that shows up whenever I'm going to make change. Mm-hmm. And when I have learned to turn around and face that girl that like hurls that accusation at me, like, who do you think you are? And I turn and I go, my name is Heidi and I really, really care about people. And I know who I am and I know why I'm here and my purpose hasn't changed, but the expression has. She immediately shuts up. So that who do you think you are? If you actually answer her factually, there's something that silences that.
Because it's not your voice.
It's not your voice. Exactly. And so the who do you think you are, it's interesting that you say that because that was the constant. But in massage therapy, I did massage for 13 years. And it got to the point where I didn't want to go. And that was the longest I had ever done anything. So, you know, prior to that in corporate, I had like a 6 month, I think 6 months was my max where it was like
3 years. I was switching jobs and moving houses or apartments at the time every 3 years.
Yeah, I did 6 months because it was like, I love the interview process. I love the challenge. I love talking to people.
And learning the new thing.
And then it was like, I'm bored.
I don't really want
And to. So having my own business had a lot of, there's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of creativity. I had all three of my kiddos during that time. That was very challenging, but the flexibility was great. But it was January of whatever year it was. I don't know. They all
melded together at this
recently. Well, in the last 4 years. And it was January, and I wrote an email to my clients, and I said, this will be my final year of body work. I have cherished our time together, and it's not you, it's me. Kind of breakup letter. Actually, it's totally you. It's not
me. I can't do this anymore.
I can't do it.
Of you.
No. I don't care anymore. But by that time, really what was happening on the table was I was coaching. And it was we were taking what was happening in the body, and I have a philosophy background, I have a degree in philosophy. And so I was taking like this hybrid approach of what's happening in your body and what's happening in your mind and marrying them together anyway. And so we would spend a ton of time off the table talking. And it was like, this, there has to be some other way to make money doing this, because I felt bad they weren't getting body work. So anyway, I had no idea what I was going to do, because this is what I was known for. I had three kids to support. We've, you know, what else would I be doing? And I said, okay, universe, I give up. I give it to you. I do not know what I'm going to do. And then I just left it. And in February, I was, you know, scrolling as we do. And I saw this certification program for body mind coaching. Mm. And I was like, this is totally me. And I watched the webinar and I cried through the whole thing. It was excellent marketing. I was like, oh my God, somebody gets me. So I enrolled in my first like $15,000 program, thought I was going to die on the spot.
Yep.
And
been there.
I learned how to use all of my expertise and meld it all together. And then I had a goal. I started the program in like March. And I was like, by the end of this year, I'm not re-signing my lease. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. And I transitioned enough clients into coaching. And then we moved home. It was the winter before COVID. So I moved home November, and then March the world shut down. And I had to figure out real quick how to be an online marketer. Cause up until that point, my practice would book out for a month at a pop. I never had a flow problem. I had to turn people away. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, ooh, we need a pipeline. How do you do this? But I've learned a lot out of necessity.
Well, and one of the reasons all of these, I call them insta tactics, don't work is because if it comes fast, it leaves fast, because it's almost analogous to people who win the lottery and lose all the money.
Yeah.
Like maybe the insta tactic worked, maybe it doesn't, but even if it does, it doesn't stick because you don't actually know how it functions.
Right. And I think having to make it work, quote unquote, during COVID, and now that the world is open a little bit, the same stuff still works, which is relationships, which is reaching out, which is referrals. I can't tell you how much money I have spent on Facebook ads that have done nothing. And you have a coffee date and it's a $25,000 deal. Like, get offline. Go buy someone coffee.
Right. And I think this is a unfortunate problem with age that, you know, I'm old enough where that's like all we did. I completely remember business before the internet, not just business before the internet, corporate, the whole nine yards, but the art of talking to other human beings. And I think the online marketers with the Insta tactics make their money because of how many people are looking for a way to grow a business without ever talking to a human being.
Or without having to be embarrassed, or without having to take a risk, or deal with the physiology of failure in public.
Yeah.
And I think the...
Because they weren't set up for it. It's a very disservice that we've done.
Yeah, truly. And I think what I love about being in business now is I'm continually mirrored back to myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's nowhere to hide when you're an entrepreneur, that your shadow is coming for you. And if you can turn around and go, oh, hey, girl, what's up? And then answer her questions or address her accusations, you'll be okay.
And learn, like, to have the conversation, not retreat.
Yes.
Right? And whether conversation with yourself, going back to this whole CEO thing, I've been crazy this week as I've tried to reframe things and have things work differently and do things completely not automatic the way that they have been. Mm-hmm. And instead of retreating from the freak out and shutting down, what can you do instead to clear the space in your mind to allow the answers to come?
And I think that to me, that's part of the excitement of being an entrepreneur. And it's also, it requires a mastery of your nervous system, and it requires a mastery of... And it doesn't mean that the thoughts don't show up. I don't take them as seriously. Right. My partner's name is also Mike, doesn't believe me when I freak out anymore. Where I'm like, No, dude, the sky
is falling. We are out of business next month. Let me tell you. We are
out of business. The children are starving.
Yes.
They're coming for all of our stuff. And he does not react. And I then am like, no, no, let me ratchet it up. This is serious. And this has been such a roller coaster that he just doesn't get on the roller coaster anymore.
He watches. Right. He just watches it. This just happened because I was completely freaking out the other night. And we managed. So my response, I'm going to write a book, take a walk, take a shower. Because that's my response, right?
That's the best way to raise kids or dogs also.
Right? 3 mile walk followed by a very long shower. So that's my tactic for you. Take a walk, take a shower. And it was the sky is falling, and I wasn't overly dramatic about it, but I was bluntly honest. I thought I was honest. He thought I was dramatic about what I was thinking and what was working and not working. And we get home and I take my, run out of hot water shower.
Yes.
And he looks at me, goes, how's my entrepreneurial superstar? And all I could think of is, did you not hear a word that I said?
I know.
Did you not hear that?
Yep.
It's not working. It's like, oh.
And I'm like, well, apparently I need to do this part of the process, because after I do this part, then
I'm fine.
And I had a therapist when I was in high school. His name was Larry. And I was like, he goes, half the stuff that you worry about, or most of the stuff you worry about, doesn't happen. And I was like, see, it's working. He's like, no, Heidi, it's not working. Because it wasn't going to happen anyway. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I manifested it not happening with my worry. Yes, exactly. I was destined to be a philosophy major in college with that type of response. But it's true. And worry, you got to make peace with them. They're going to keep coming. No, they stay for shorter amounts of time, though. I don't know if you found that, but I don't freak out as long.
Right. What used to hit you for a year turns into a month. What hits you for a season turns into a month. What hits you for a month turns into a week. I'm honestly at the point where what on 2-3 years ago might have derailed me for a month maybe derails me for an hour.
And I think what's so interesting is, like, when I look at what I have achieved, this was like never even, I didn't even think we'd get here. And so it's like, oh yeah. Okay. So we're in a whole different world. So of course you're going to have to learn a new skill set. Like, what? If you're out of your depth, you're going to have to develop a different breaststroke.
So this is the difference. And I love how you said it, not just what you said, but how you said it. And this is why you're successful. Because if you want my opinion on why you're
successful. I do actually. I value it.
Because of your, I'm doing something new. I have to learn something new.
Yeah.
As a calm, curious.
Yes.
As opposed to,
what's wrong
with me? The sky is falling. What's wrong with me? Why don't I intrinsically know how to do everything there is to know in the universe? I must be stupid. Like, which is entirely all too often what you see happen.
I know. So you use the phrase zone of genius. So I'm assuming you're a Big Leap fan. Is that that book? Mm-hmm. And what Gay Hendricks talks about is that worry, that doubt is like a beacon from your zone of genius. So those worries actually have ideas and thoughts attached to them. And I love this idea, because it's like, oh my God, I'm so worried. My zone of genius is calling me.
Right. Well, and I now this summer, I fondly look on 2018 as Aaron's year of failure. We're in October, so I'm now calling this the summer of trauma. It was just one thing after another. Yeah. And this is going to sound crazy, but I thought the trauma and the hard was over. And then, short version, Cat has cancer. I got sick. Mom's in a hurricane. And this is how weird we are. You ready?
Yes.
My first thought to those three things happening, boom, 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 after I thought the trauma was over, was, wow, the breakthrough is going to be even bigger because the breakdown was even bigger.
Yes. And you have to have an element of breakdown before a breakthrough.
Yeah. So I'm like, it was a bigger breakdown. So we have a bigger breakthrough.
And I think that when that's like the automatic that shows up, it doesn't mean that you're not human and you're not affected. But it certainly means that we recognize pattern and we recognize season and we recognize learning in layers.
You get to respond and be in control instead of freak out and react. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Right. Or that you're not like, oh God. Or that you have to somehow bypass being human. That's right. The thing that drives me nuts about the spiritual world is like, if you meditate enough, if you eat enough rabbit food, if you like get up at, you know, 2:30, whatever, you'll never have to experience anything.
It's you'll never have to be uncomfortable, unhappy, sad, but that's half the emotions.
Yes. And I think it matters to honor both. Like, we call it being a hybrid in my community, where you're human, man. Like, I don't know if you knew it or not, but that's the species you were born into. And I don't know past lives, if you were a dog or whatever, but this time around, you're human. And there is this ineffable divinity or sacredness or unexplained creative force that courses through you as well. You get both. Mm-hmm. And I think remembering that is very helpful for me when I'm really human. It's like something else organized is happening. Like, if I was in charge of my heartbeat, I would have been in trouble a long time ago, right? Like, something is happening. If I had to consciously make myself breathe or move blood, I'd have been dead a long time ago. Like, I shouldn't be in charge of everything. And I just had a conversation with my finance coach, and he's a big personality, like just a big personality. And he shocked me, not really, but he goes, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a control freak. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. But he was owning it. Are women allowed to be control freaks? Like, is that something that we're allowed? You're allowed because you're a white dude in a patriarchal society, but am I allowed? And so I had to look at the etymology of control. I had to look at the etymology of freak.
This is why Mike gets and you get along. We're like some random thing.
Totally.
The most random, like the river's over here and there's a landmark rock with a plaque on it. And, you know, 4 hours later, he's still watching YouTube videos about the rock, right?
I really support that. Yes. But I think that there's an element of, yeah, you do have more control than you know.
You have more control than
it's controlling the right things. It's being a control freak in areas that you actually have influence. Because you can't control other people. You can't control the weather. You can't control illness. You can influence those things. But where can you be a control freak? That's like my latest question. It's so fun.
So if you were to pick one area of your life that you would benefit the most from being a control freak, what would it be?
For me, it's my health. Like, I am a control freak when it comes to my health. And I feel so, I like how I feel. Like, I like my patterns. I like my sleep schedule. I like what I eat. I like how I move. My health is the thing that I spend the most time with, other than money. And I really love money. Like, I do. Money can do such cool things. Right. And I think when great people have a lot of money, money's an amplifier. And so if you're awesome, imagine what you'll be with money.
100%.
Let's magnify that.
100%. So if people want to finish or continue this conversation with you, because seriously, highly, highly, highly recommend people reach out and have more of a conversation with you. What is the easiest way for them to find you?
Come and hang out online. So at Heidi Mitro, Instagram, Heidi Mitro on Facebook, email me, Heidi@HeidiMitro.com, go to HeidiMitro.com. Basically, Google Heidi Mitro and you'll find a whole bunch of crap. So, and I am always up for a philosophical conversation. I'm always up for a heart to heart. Like, I think the question that we should ask is, what do you want the most?
I ask, my clients get so mad at me because every time there's anything going on, whether it's personal, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, I always go back to, what do you want?
Yes. And if you put you're going to hate this, but Michael like it. If you put the emphasis on each word, you'll get a very comprehensive response. What do you want the most?
Yeah.
What do you want? You can play with the emphasis on the syllables or whatever the movie that is. But I think it's a really, it's a bold question. What do you want the most? Like, for real, man, what do you want the most? Go play with that. And then if you want to play, you know, come hang out. I'd love to.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for your story, for your insights, for your time. For all the things.
I feel very served by this, Erin. I really appreciate your time. I think that when you get to the end of something and you wish it wasn't done, it's like,
well, yeah, we could have four more episodes, so we'll have to,
yeah, you know, let me know. I'm in, man. I'm in.
Right, so. Exactly.
Thank you for awesome. The invitation. I appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Ready Yet podcast. I truly enjoy bringing these stories of success and inspiration to you. Please join us in our mission to empower entrepreneurs to be in charge of their businesses and in charge of their lives by sharing this with anyone you know who would benefit from our tactical and motivating advice, leaving us a review, and letting us know if there are any particular topics you would really appreciate hearing about. See you next time.